I want to welcome everybody to today's edition of Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers, your host. And today I have with me, I haven't heard his voice pop in, but Larry, are you there?
I'm here.
There we go. That always just relieves a whole lot of pressure off of my shoulders, because it's no fun interviewing just dead air. So
I understand what you mean.
Larry's been in this situation before. Larry, I sat yesterday coming back from the ski slope. I had several thoughts running through my mind about this conversation, and usually on a Saturday morning, I don't have many thoughts of anything running through my head. I just kind of go with the flow. However, your history with Neekin and your history with the network marketing industry goes back 40-plus years. I mean, you were affiliated with this industry before I was born. And I'm not trying to date you or call you anything that, you know, you're not. I'm fascinated.
I'm old.
I had a gal at the checkout stand yesterday ask me, "Sir, will you need help out with that?" And I said, "Ma'am, I bought vegetable seed and 2 1-gallon jugs of some deck cleaner. I'm not even 40 yet. I should hope not."
Yes.
And the couple behind me, I thought they were going to double over in pain from laughing so hard. But Larry, for those of us who have never heard your story of, number one, being introduced to the network marketing world, but then also the history of what you brought to Neekin as far as that. It's a fascinating story, and it's worth retelling a zillion times, because every time I remember it, because I've heard you share it a few times, it just gets me all excited on the inside knowing what happened to start the company that we're all a part of, which we're, 33 years old now, and you were there during that inception time, that thing. But take us back to your start. I mean, not all the way to birth, but,
time for that. Well, I'll be happy to, Vance. It's one of those things where some of the lessons that I've learned, a couple of things. First of all, there's no such thing as coincidence. Secondly, there is no such thing as a small thing. Remember that bestseller a few years ago about don't sweat the small stuff because it's all small stuff? I don't believe that at all. I say don't sweat the big stuff because it's all big stuff. And you you just have no way of knowing how important an event is in your life until sometimes years later. Sometimes you know right when it occurs that it was a big deal. But other times it takes a little bit of rear-view mirror to really understand the significance of it. It's a strange situation because I was born and raised on that ranch in Wyoming, and when it came time to go to college, I decided to become an engineer. And I became an engineer at General Electric, only to discover that I really didn't like engineering and wasn't making enough money as an engineer. And I got involved in a little part-time business way back then that got me involved in network marketing. A fellow by the name of Ralph Mitchell, who I'm still in contact with on a weekly basis, introduced me to this fascinating concept. It was right back when the Mary Kays, the Amways and the company that I was with were just starting. And I started making more money part-time than I was full-time at my engineering job, and left and went full-time after 3 years. How's that for courage, right? But it was a situation where, because of a little success, I thought I knew everything. It was like going full-time at the bronze level. And I'll tell you, in a matter of months, I sold more than anybody else in the company.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
Sorry about that, Larry. Just a little bit of technical difficulties.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're not recommending going full-time at the bronze level, kind of
crazy.
Well,
I'm not. And especially thinking you know everything. Being open and being willing to learn is real helpful. Well, what happened is I started to realize I needed to learn some things, and I had a situation where I had a group of people that I knew needed some training. And so I did go to the company, and I said, "Can you help me?" And they said, well, we'll send out a trainer if you'll guarantee 20 people in the class and first class hotel and first class on airfare. And I says, no problem. And so the lady named Barbara Dempsey called and said she'd be willing to do that. Only when she came, I only had 12 people. I was able to fly her economy, and she stayed in our duplex. And she trained those 12 people, and the very next year, we were the number one distributors in the world in that particular company.
And
as a result of that...
Larry, again, what year was this?
That was in 1969.
Okay, so network marketing, and sorry for me getting hung up on this, but I'm always fascinated, and as one who's been in this industry... Oh, my goodness, since I was 10, okay, so I got an early education. I'm fascinated with the history of this because there's so many people out there that don't understand. But we're going back, and it was really birthed by Amway back in the 50s. So we're talking 10, 12 years later that, and would you be so willing to share, and if I missed it already, I'm sorry, but what was the main product line that you guys were marketing?
It was a skincare product line, although that was the vehicle. Here's what the owner and the founder of the company said. He said, our product is people. The vehicle that we're using are skincare items, cosmetic items. And he's the one that developed a training program that virtually all of the self-help companies the training companies spun off from, the Life Springs, the Life Dynamics, the Psy Worlds, the S, and all of those companies, their founders had been instructors for his company in their training program. And so his philosophy was, it's the philosophy of the company that's the mortar that holds the bricks of the company together. So with that background, with that kind of training, I think I probably got the best training that could have ever been. They used the Larry Wilson Company, they used Earl Nightingale, American Sales Masters. I mean, it was a really dynamic training program because he really believed that a company is only as big as the people that it can grow. And as a result of that, they sent me to Japan to help open up their operations in Japan. I was doing, and back in those days, we wanted to make sure we got started right. So we did not allow just anybody to become a distributor in the company. We had to have a personal interview with them first. And I went down to Miyazaki, Japan, a place, a little town in southern Kyushu, to interview distributors who said they wanted to become members of that company. One of them was a guy who was a clerk for a public transportation, bus barn clerk, if you will, who'd had a child born with some real handicaps that needed to have money spent for operations and all this kind of thing. He knew he couldn't pay for it with his bus barn money, so he was looking for an opportunity and got involved in network marketing as a vehicle to provide for him the income and so forth that he needed to be able to help his child. His name was Isamu Masuda. He was in that interview. Now, what happened is he was fantastic. He was a distributor that knew what he was about, had a passion for it, had a cause. He became one of our leading distributors. We made him one of our trainers, and then grew so fast we assigned him to be one of our vice presidents for our training people down in southern Japan. Well, that company, the owner was killed in a plane crash. They changed their management. I left and started a management consulting company, and Mr. Masuda left and started a company called Niken. He had run across a prototype of a product now known as the MagSteps, and over the next, he was my first client, by the way, in my training.
So the roles got reversed within a few years, it sounds like.
It was absolutely amazing. He had this philosophy because we taught it to him in the other company that the vehicle is what's important, but it's the purpose of your company that's important, the philosophy. And he really understood this idea of personal growth because of what it had done for him, how it had taken him out of his shell and helped him become more of who he was to be. And in fact, over the next 4 years with that one product, his company received acknowledgement as the fastest growing network marketing company in the history of Japan. So that was a really exciting development. Well, I stayed another 3 years, total of 6 years in Japan, and then came back to the United States, looking for another opportunity here. I only did consulting work for him occasionally. I'd go over there and train the trainers, or he'd send somebody over here. And then in 1989, he decided to bring his company to North America, and he had selected one of his key people there, who had helped set up training programs, who was by now a multimillionaire businessman in training by the name of Tom Watanabe. In fact, that year, Tom Watanabe was selected as the outstanding alumni of Brandeis University in Boston. And so everything was happening really fast. Well, 89, they asked me if I would be willing to help set up the training program here in the United States for Niken. And he flew me and my wife to the company in Niken's International Convention down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And as we were saying our goodbyes, he said to me, "Do you remember what you told me when you interviewed me in Miyazaki, Japan, way back in 1973, March of 1973, he said. And I had no clue. I didn't even remember interviewing him. He says, "Well, what you told me in that interview changed my life." Now, to understand the significance of this, you have to understand that that company had taught all of us that what we needed to do was get a lead the field program with Earl Nightingale. And Earl Nightingale said, "You listen to every one of these." Back in those days, they were records. I'll show you how old I am. "You listen to this record for 21 days before you go on to the next recording." Now, what happens if you listen to something for 21 days? Well, it becomes a part of you, you know. And so here in that interview, evidently, because here's what happened when I asked him what it was I told him in the interview. He pulled out of his pocket, his coat pocket, a little 3x5 laminated card, all written in Japanese. I couldn't read a word of it, but I could read the bottom of it. It said, "L. Prophet."
and you
thought,
probably
wow,
knew.
Isn't that some Edgar A. Guest or Rudyard Kipling and Larry Prophet?
You probably knew that wasn't a great Japanese philosopher. I mean,
I was thinking that's pretty good, you know. And then I said I had to have the translator. I said, "Well, what was it I told you?" And what it was, would you like to know, Vance?
Absolutely. Because I got several of my own up my sleeve that you said that I've written down and recorded and been a philosophy. So.
Well, here's what it was. It said, "In order to become the person you wish to become, you must first think, talk, walk, and act as if you already are that person." Mm. Guess where I'd gotten that? That was a statement by Earl Nightingale in that Lead the Field series. And evidently, he had said something in that interview that triggered my computer between my ears to come up with what he needed to hear at that moment. And he says, "What you told me changed my life." Well, at that point, I realized how important to follow instructions is sometimes, especially when it comes to layering in the information that we need to be able to be of assistance to people. Oh, I've got to tell you another little thing, Vance. You have for this too. When I was now putting the bags on the bus to head out, and my wife went over to give him a hug and tell him goodbye. And when I came back, he was gone, but she was in the corner just sobbing. And I what did he do to her? What happened? And she says, "I've never felt so much love from any person in my life." Well, that was the way Mr. Masuda founded his company. The statement that comes to my mind is it's found in the Old Testament, so Nathan of old called "Man Without Guile."
Uh-huh.
And that's Mr. Masuda. He is just a simple human being who loves other people and really cares about their growth, and that's why he founded his company. I mean, it was exciting for me to know that was the kind of individual he was from the very beginning. Well, that was a very big, important thing for us, because it let us know again what a powerful human being he was. But it also let me know that he wanted to make sure he had the right people to head up his North American operations. Mr. Watanabe had been my translator for years when I was doing the work for Mr. Masuda, and was just outstanding. And he's not the one, by the way, you know, Vance. When I went over there, I was so excited about I'd stolen all the Zig Ziglar stories, so I figured I could tell them and get people to laugh and have fun in front of an audience kind of thing. And I had to hire a translator because I didn't speak Japanese, and I remember that first I told the translator what I was going to tell everybody, and when I told him the joke that I was going to tell, he looked at me really funny, and he says, "Is that funny, Mr. Potter?" So I knew I was in real trouble, so I hired a new translator. For the next 2 weeks, every joke I told, every story I told in the audience, there was, I mean, I audience of 200 or 300 people all over Japan, and they would laugh. I mean, it was amazing. Never happened to me in America. And I finally, in Osaka, Japan, one of the Americans who understood Japanese came up after the meeting and said, "Mr. Prophet, do you understand what your translator's saying?" And I thought, uh-oh. "No, what's he saying?" "Well, he's saying Mr. Prophet just told another funny story. Please laugh." And I never told another joke the rest of my 6 years in Japan. That was a lesson for me.
Yeah, there's something about having a translator or interpreter or interrupter, is how some people call it, that it really transfers things over. Now, Larry, you're talking about the foundation of this company that we're a part of, and again, it's fascinating to me because I love history, and even, you know, history that's happened in the last few decades. But you're talking about an interview that happened in 1989, and you had walked in that thinking that, you know, well, they were going to solicit your services because of who you are, and then all of a sudden, you know, the tables have turned. Now, let's fast forward to a few weeks ago. Here we are, 2008. Okay, so Nikken has been established now in North America for going on, what is that, 89 to 2000, 30 years? No, 20 years? What?
Yeah, how many years is that? That's why I'm not an engineer anymore, man.
Yeah, which reminds me of a point, that a fact that right now, today, college graduates graduating and entering the business field, by the time they're 38 years old, so by the time they reach a year younger than I am, they will switch careers 14 times. And you had talked about, you know, getting a degree in engineering and then switching, just a little tidbit on the side. But let's fast forward to a few weeks ago, 2008, and you crossed paths with Tom Watanabe again. After being gone away from the Nikken family for a few years, and you got a phone call from somebody.
Well, yeah, it was one of those situations where I had retired for various reasons and spent a lot of time on the tennis courts and the golf course and doing some personal counseling and mentoring and so forth. Well, Mr. Watanabe called, and after some changes had been made at headquarters, he said, actually it was his secretary called and said, "Mr. Watanabe wants to know if you'd be willing to have lunch with him." And, of course, I hadn't talked to him in all those years, and so I said, "Well, of course." We had lunch together, and in the process of that, he wanted to know what I was doing, and, you know, he pretty well knew ahead of time, but wanted me to confirm, I guess. Anyway, he said, "Well, would you be willing to do some, be a guest speaker at some of the Nikken events around the world?" Well, I've always really enjoyed that, because what he wanted me to do was talk about history, and he really knew this philosophy. So some of you knew this. It was hanging on my mother's wall before she passed away, because it's a family's job to give their children two things: roots and wings. And what he wanted me to talk about at these guest events is history. What are the roots of Nikken? And so, even though it's interesting, I think it also is very significant that we all understand our roots, where we come from, and what is our strength, and what gives us the power and stability we have. So I said, "Well, yeah, of course." And so he said, "Well, let me see if it can be arranged." And I told him, I said, "There are some people that probably won't be too anxious to act." And he made a comment. Oh, he says, "I think most will be happy. And besides that, the new people don't even know who you are."
But they will in a very short time, because I know I'm not the only one that's had you on a call. I was listening to a CD a few days ago that Dave Johnson recently interviewed on a CD, and I know it's available from Blue Ribbon or wherever. But so coming back, this lunch that you had, and I will look at it as a pivotal point in our future. Not just because, you know, Larry Prophet, the great, you know, the one who inspired Isamu Masuda to really start, you know, our humble beginnings in Fukuoka, Japan. Not so much that, but from the perspective of we, you know, it's like a family, you know, the Rogers family. If I really want to know the empowerment of what can fuel me, it really serves me well to go back and study on both sides of the family, both the Shimps and the Rogers, a little bit about my ancestors. So kind of the same, you coming to Nikken and bringing us newbies that have been around with the company maybe 3, 4, 5 years who don't know who L. Prophet is or what, you know, these stories. It really will be some the education and the history and the fuel to empower us to go further because of what you're bringing to the table as part of that, you know.
Appreciate you sharing that, and evidently Mr. Watanabe feels that way.
And I know a lot has changed since you've been gone. What I have to ask this question, Larry, and I think as adults we can be honest enough. When you're sitting down with them, did it cross your mind all that history of going back? Because here was the gentleman that really brought Nikken to and had the passion to bring Nikken to the North American market, who now is the owner. And all those other little initials behind his name of Nikken Incorporated Global. And what was going through your mind? And were you really prepared, what was going to come next is like, whoa, we're just going to go to lunch. I mean.
I was surprised. It's one of those situations where I've known from the very beginning. Of course, Watanabe has probably bailed me out of more sticky situations as a translator when I was in Japan because he only translated what was necessary, not what I said. but the other thing that and the reason that we are or were such a great team, I think, is Mr. Masuda's vision, the visionary, who really did not have a whole lot of business acumen, and he recognized that. He surrounded himself with top business people who could take his vision and put it into actual plans. Well, Watanabe was just perfect for that. He's a numbers guy. He knows how somebody says he's going to have a biggest, you know, he's going to be in 200 countries and has a 200-year plan and all this kind of thing. Watanabe is the kind of guy who can put it into actual practical step-by-step the mechanism on how to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not have an ego. He does not care who is getting the accolades, who's out in front. He just wants to make sure that he has a vehicle that will provide the distributors what it is they need. So it was really a reconfirmation for me. Yeah, he's not perfect. He says he made some mistakes, but that was so important for me to see him again and see what a. You know, he's just a real human being. I really have a lot of respect for Watanabe. But also, who he's put in place at the headquarters. You know, Bob Richards is just a super human being. I've known Bob before I left Nikken. And he, you know, this Doug Braun and Bodak, I was so impressed at our MBA meeting when they first introduced me that I was coming back. And the way they facilitated all those super leaders and it gave me so I really knew that he had put the right people in place. That Nikken's best days are yet to come. A few years ago, by the way, Vance, you might be aware of this. One of our executives was on a plane where one of the leading companies was on their way to their convention with their executives, and in the conversation, he asked them, "Well, what do you think is the big difference with Nikken?" And these guys, these executives with that other company, one of the billion-dollar companies. That all your two-day training program is the envy of the industry, meaning the humans being more training. And it really is, because it was put in at the very start, because of Mr. Masuda's philosophy about how personal growth is so important, it layered in right with Kiyosaki. You know, when Kiyosaki in his book, The Business School for People Who Love Helping People,
mm-hmm.
The most important thing that you need to ask when you're seeking a network marketing company is, what is their program for personal development? And I've had enough experience now since leaving Nikken for those few years to know that it is very, very difficult to have a company who does not grow up with that philosophy incorporated. I mean, can you imagine putting a program like Humans Being More Training into an Amway or a Mary Kay or something? It just wouldn't work. It's not part of the culture. It's an outside program. It's not
there. Sure.
Well, with Nikan, it's just part of the culture. And that's the reason it became such an important part. In fact, there are many people who will tell you, even though they may not be with Nikan now, their experience in the Humans Being More Training actually changed their life.
Yeah, I know. I got a call from a gal the other day who literally, and it was an odd thing, but when you're part of something like Nikan for so long and you stay consistent, you know it's inevitable, it will happen. And this gal is working with a company that I don't endorse. I don't like their product. I don't like the way it works in the body, and it causes a lot of reaction that, you know, I just simply wouldn't even mention it. However, she called and said, I would like to meet with you, go coffee or take you out to lunch or something, because I'm in a position where I really need some advice on how to grow this. And I said, you know, Marilyn, it sounds like you could probably use Humans Being More Attention. She said, I did that 5 times, and I wish our company had that.
Yeah.
But they don't. And, you know, there we go into that whole perspective. Larry, if I can throw a curveball at you, because something that I gleaned from Pat, which I don't know if she's able to jump on the phone.
She's not. She's doing some grandmother thing right now.
Well, we'll capture her at a later date, because... You know, as she said, I've never felt so much love, and then I've had conversations with her, and I did a couple weeks ago at that MBA event, and
yeah.
She said something to me which I think we as wellness consultants need to know, and that is, you're not going to have an office at Nikan. You're truly going to be doing business from home as a Nikan ambassador, and...
Yeah.
In the phone number that you gave to me, if I called it back again and I don't get either you or Pat answering the phone, it's your home number. So you truly are an example to us.
I appreciate that. Hey, by the way, she just walked in and took the phone. Here she is.
Right. You know, first things first. Grandma first, you know. I'd go get grandkids this morning to babysit.
Well, hey, no problem whatsoever, Pat. I'm going to put you on the spot because you bring a different perspective to Nikan Corporate in that, you know, a lot of times that especially Larry being a background in engineering, it's the man that's kind of the one out front. However, I'm going to go back a few years to when you guys joined us on one of our annual cruises. We sailed out of New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm hoping you can remember this. At the very end, there was every day we had Larry speak, every day during our meetings. And at the very end, people said, hey, we want more. Can we throw something together tonight? So we kind of had an impromptu meeting, reserved one of the lounges. And you had shared several things. And as one of our key leaders, my dad's cousin, Jim Curry, actually has a picture of you guys on his wall. He tells me about this. I mean, every couple months, and he says, you know, Vance, it was great, all the speakers you arranged and lined up, and Larry was fabulous, and it was very historical and everything. He said, however, the icing on the cake was Pat Proffitt.
Well, that's funny.
And you think it's funny, and yet you said and you inspired us all because of the heart message and going back to your first experience.
Yeah. Remember that.
Of saying, you know, here we are on a cruise ship and your experience was outside of a bus and you said, I've never felt so much love. Can you go all the way back to that experience? And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I know, and I'm really going way back here. We're talking just a few decades. But what was it? I mean, you were part of a company, and as Larry has shared with us, had this incredible training program where you're getting people to analyze and figure out what it is that, you know, the baggage or whatever, but to deal with some emotional issues. How do you make a statement, I've never felt so much love from one man?
Wow, that's a good question, you know. I mean, it was a different kind of love. Of course, you know, you have the love like you have from your spouse and so forth, but I guess what I meant was like from a total... Well, he wasn't really a stranger. We had met him and everything, but I guess it was a confirming type love about the company, you know. It was I guess it would, to qualify that statement, it would be like so much love from you know, in a company, you get your personal, you're snuggled from your kids and grandkids and your husband and wife and all that. There's that kind of love. But to separate that from the kind of love that you don't really usually associate with being in business with somebody or in a company, But to have somebody who is basically a stranger that usually you would have, at arm's length a little bit, on a casual basis or whatever, to just embrace me so much and assure me, I don't know. We were going through a time of transition and just a lot of doubt about, what is this company? And, they'd sent us down to Brazil to kind of check it out. And, we had no clue, but just, and so it was causing a lot of stress, if you will, even in our relationship, like, should we do this or should we not, and what's going to go on, and just, it was just such a confirming, reassuring way that, there was no word spoken, of course, because Mr. Masuda is Japanese, and I speak very little Japanese. He speaks less English, and or maybe more, I don't know, but anyway, there wasn't much communication
I'd agree with you 100% on that, because my first meeting of Mr. Masuda was in a hotel elevator in Seattle, Washington, in 1994.
He doesn't need to speak with words.
In this elevator, he said hello, and he bowed, and I'll never forget that. I mean, it's like, it's permanently embedded in my brain, and he bowed to me, and I bowed back. I'm like, okay, there's a lot of other Japanese, and we got up. My brother and I got off the elevator, and he said, "Do you realize who that was?" I'm like, "I don't have a clue." And he said, "That's the founder of the company." I'm like, "That
explains." Doesn't it surprise you how ordinary looking he is?
Yeah, well, and as Larry said, man without guile, and it really is normal. And Tom Watanabe is the same way, and we had a conversation a few weeks ago. I want to ask you, Pat, one other question, then I'll let you go back to your morning routine or whatever that is you normally were doing. What's it like to have the officing at home and knowing that Larry's not going to be going and punching a time clock from 9 to 5 every day?
We've been doing that for so long.
What is that like for one of the consultants, truly being, and empowered to office at home?
Oh, I don't know. We've been doing it for so long. It just seems like a way to do things, We have done both, of course, but he has been on his own for so long, and working. But I've done the other thing, too, where you've punched the time clock and so forth. And it's, some days you just, it just makes it more pleasant, I guess, when you know you're doing it from choice and you're regulating your own schedule and you can say, I really don't want to work that day because, I've got a kid doing this or that, or we're going to do something. And on the other hand, we find that we laugh because we say we went into business for ourselves, so we have more free time. We actually probably work harder, but it's more fun. You know what I mean? We're not like sitting around, I guess is what I'm trying to say here.
I know exactly.
We have plenty to do. In fact, people are always kidding us about, how come you guys are never home? Your life must be really... We're like,
They say the word busy, right?
I guess. I hate that word, though. Busy is like a four-letter word,
Yeah. And how do you respond? Because I get that a lot, too. I mean, and my response is one thing, but I'm curious. What do you respond to them? Is it say, this because we have to, or is it by choice, or what do you say to them?
Oh, I don't know. But I know that it is by choice, but, most people I don't have to qualify it to, It's just, if they say, well, you're really busy, I'm having a great time,
Sure.
Awesome.
Sure.
Everybody does something with those 24 hours.
Right. Why not?
One thing that really gets me is when people say, well, I don't have time. Oh, God gave me 26 hours, but he only gave you 20 or whatever. Everybody's got the same amount of time. That's a God-given.
Oh.
If we don't
take advantage of that, it's like...
Yeah, and everybody chooses where they want to spend that and how they want to spend it and how they want to use that time, which is a wonderful gift,
Sure.
And so we use it,
However, I met a gentleman yesterday who was, I guess by his appearance, did the appearance of his uniform didn't match the environment we in, and it's because this gentleman was wearing a three-piece, I would say polyester leisure suit from Goodwill on the ski slopes.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're standing there looking at him, and I went up to him like, dude, you rock. You're setting a new example of dress for success.
and one
of the guys that was with us said, well, he probably just was headed to the office that, you know, shoot, it's such a great day. I'm going to the slopes and didn't have time to change. You know, and I'm not sure. But there is an element of being able to make that choice every day.
Yeah.
And not having
I have to, what'd you say, honey? Like, take your grandkids, that was a choice, A, to go pick up the kids and spend a day with them, you know? It's just awesome to be able to do that. Yeah.
I'm looking at my clock saying, oh, I got people that'll start whining at me if I go too long, but I want to have you and Larry back for just a candid, you know, conversation because there's some areas because of what you guys have done as parents that'll take on a whole new realm of conversation, and there was one other question I wanted to ask Larry to, you know, tie a bow on this, but thank you for jumping on the phone.
Good to talk to all you guys and talking to you.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah.
And we'll see you again on the Neken Highway, I know that for sure.
Or on the slopes.
Yeah, or on the slopes. Larry, there's two things I scribbled down here that are in front of me that I want to come back to, and one is basically a disclaimer, but you referred to Earl Nightingale and his Lead the Field program, and that's evolved and changed over the years. Different people, I won't mention names, have adapted it or anything. But it really is. We don't have to go out and buy a record player and go buy the original on vinyl on a actual record, but we can get that original version in book form and on CD, and the original Lead the Field program and its true package really has life-altering messages. And then the other thing, and
it's
I
only
put
$5, Vance.
It's only what?
$45 from Nightingale Connett.
Okay, so you can get it directly from them, and you know, and if that sounds a little bit steep, I'm sure you could go on Amazon.com and pick up a
used version.
But Larry, some of the things that Stacy and I, at 12 and a half years of marriage, that we have literally, and I got a compliment as a parent yesterday from three ladies that just admired the way our kids and my nephews and nieces, and so it was a compliment not only to us, but it was something that you had said years ago in a gold training in January, I believe it was January, maybe it was February, of 1996. Stacy and I had been married a few months, and in that training, this was in Kelso, Longview, Washington, and we were on our way to Canada and then took a five-day detour to go through gold training because we were gold and we hadn't been through it. But you had made a comment, and we have applied this to parenting, we've applied it to worship, we've applied it to our roles as husband and wife, and that simply was freedom is greatest when the boundaries are clearly defined.
Yeah.
Where did that quote come from, and what went in that for you?
Well, I steal from the best. I believe that's a quote from Stephen Covey.
Okay.
We've done a number of workshops since then for couples, and it's the importance is to know what the role is. You know, one of the things that I taught about it in gold training was to know what the company's role is and what the distributor's, the consultant's role is. And what you can say and what you can't say. You remember how we used to do that?
Uh-huh.
I think it was called positively speaking on a recording we had. Where when we know what the restrictions are and we know where that black hole is, so to speak, it gives us a whole world outside that area that we can operate very effectively in. But in our role as husband and wife, it becomes effective because when we sit down and we know what the expectations are, one of the things we do in that workshop, that, you know, the greatest source of conflict in any committed relationship is unfulfilled expectations. Well, the problem is we never set out what those expectations are, and so that's where that quote really applies. Freedom is greatest when the boundaries are clearly defined, when we know what our roles are, when we know what our expectations of each other are, and whether or not we can fulfill those expectations.
I think it's true with the company as well. That's a committed relationship. When I know what my expectations are of the company, and they know what their expectations are of me, then freedom is there. If not, then I'm always playing victim and blaming somebody else and all that kind of thing. So it's a really powerful underlying philosophy, I think, of the whole network marketing arena if you're going to have success in it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think when we look at the five pillars of health and Nikan's mission statement to inspire and empower others, there's just something about that. When we understand what the parameters are, you know, when we understand what the speed limit is on a certain stretch of road, then we have the freedom to do what we can. You know, obviously we've got to stay in our lane, and there's a whole other subject in itself. And that takes me back years of, you know, something that was challenged to me. But Larry, one last thought, and I think that it kind of sums up that we have the opportunity to go forward from here. But where do you see, especially with your involvement and in what you observed, as you said, a powerful event in the MBA event that you and I were both a part of, based on what you saw there and then based on returning to Nikan, where do you see us going in the next few years, next few decades, and so forth?
Well, as I saw that group there at that MBA, wouldn't you love to just start a brand new company with that kind of thought? And so what I see, well, there seems to be a resurgence of energy for a lot of different reasons, and it's like, as you know, there's a lot of different opinions of how things ought to be done, but it was a real coming together of the leaders of the company saying, hey, look, we're going to put all our egos behind us. We're going to work together to support whoever people are, wherever they're located, and for the common good, this is going to really be a resurgence of Nikan. And I think everybody there agreed that the best years of Nikan are yet to come.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a powerful, powerful, what's happening over in Turkey and Russia and Israel and all these areas are just a little smatterings of what's happening here in North America. And I just got back from doing last week that Rhythm of the Business there in Washington, D.C. There were 70 groups around the country like that one I was involved with who are recommitting their time, their energy, their resources to be all they can be. And humans being more. I mean, this is really what the... and I think part of it is because they understand that it is a philosophy. It is a company who's committed to their growth, not just the bottom line, not just the $1 billion, that kind of thing. It's commitment to people as individuals. That's what I really love about the company.
And I think from your perspective, being part of this industry for four decades, there's something to be said of you saying, yep, Mr. Watanabe, I'm count me in, I'm on board, that in selecting this company amongst everything that's out there, and you were right, I was thinking the same thing, looking around that room at the headquarters building going, man, what would it be like to take this, all of this, these people, this charisma, this leadership that's here, it's not the potential of what can come out, but what was already established in there, and saying, what would it be like to harness all this together, and that's where we're going, and that's where the future
is.
Well,
and I liked what William Todd had to say there, too, because like me, he had also been outside of Nikan for a few years.
Uh-huh.
And as he said, as he had a chance to look at all these different companies out there, there is nothing out there that has it together as Nikan does. That's why he's back.
Yeah, and it goes back to something you said at the very beginning of our conversation this morning, and that truly, it's product versus people. People come first, and yet, however, Nikan is the only company, not arrogantly said, however, but proud. We can put our shoulders back and say Nikan is the only company that truly delivers a product that will change people's lives. We're not talking about, you know, making your house smell, you know, nicer with candles. We're not talking about your face looking, you know, brighter and cheerier with layers of paint. We're talking about something that will truly impact people's lives, and it's evident by the testimonies that are created in the products and then the humans being more experienced that lives are changed. And Mary Dingman made a comment, Dave Stoltz was interviewed her a week and a half ago, and I'll finish with this. She said, you know, Nikan truly is a personal development program with a paycheck.
Yeah, that's well put, isn't it?
And I, you know, way to go, Mary. She just encapsulated it all, and that's truly what we have. Well, Larry, thank you so very much, because I know.
Vance, I really appreciate it. It's fun for me.
Well, it's fun for us, and it's going to be even more fun when we get to see you out at different events and speaking. And of course, you'll be at the NECAN convention in Orlando. And if you have not registered for that, don't put it off. You're thinking, oh, that's October. It's only March. Don't do that, because you just want to make the mindset. We've already booked an extra week and ahead to stay at a timeshare. You know, while we're down there with our family, we're meeting up with two other families that are going to be joining us. And who knows, I may end up prospecting one of those other families to go with us to the convention. But make a decision now, and because Larry will be there, and some of us will have the opportunity to see Larry before then at different events around.
Yep,
but,
in Seattle on the 12th and 13th of April, so that's going to be fun.
12th and 13th of April in Seattle, Washington. Ooh, write that one down, you guys, because some of you might want to be planning on making a trip. So, Larry, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and thank you again. You've blessed... Well, a couple hundred people that are listening now, and then several hundred more that will be listening via the website at growingandwellness.com. You can go there to listen to this. And this conversation, because NECAN prohibits us from selling any corporate speaker, presenter, this will only be available to listen to on the website. And I'll see if I can twist Brad's arm to get him to leave it up a little longer. But, you know, if you're talking to people who have been part of this industry for a while, this maybe the thing that would woo them over to us because of what Larry has shared. So thank you again, Larry. Thank you for everybody being on the call. We will talk to you next Saturday morning when we chat with Ran and Teresa Crawley. So you guys have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk with you soon. Bye-bye,
thanks
everybody.
So much.
Bye, Larry.
Bye-bye.